Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Walking Through the Dark by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
He said, but the place to have foundations, watch this. God's got to build that. Can I tell you, you can try to build something too fast. I believe everyone, ideally, especially African Americans, to build wealth, you need to own land or own property and not spend your life renting. That's the headline. Buy a home, don't rent. What is that? The headline. Buy a home, don't rent. Because most people's wealth in this country start with home ownership. That's the headline. The fine print is you may not be ready to do it. And I see people buying homes who are not ready for a home. You're still struggling to pay rent. You're still not convinced that being on time is important. Y'all don't like me now. Yes, you should, but sometimes you can build too quick. Oh, this is so good. You can build something that's too big for you to handle. You can build something externally that you don't have the infrastructure internally to deal with. He looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Can I tell you, this city that has foundation is really not talking about a physical place. It's talking about your life. We're going to have to build our lives and allow God to give us foundations, which takes time, because to build a foundation, you got to go down before you ever go up. I said you got to go down before you go up. Now, when I moved out of the north and I came south, even our sanctuary here is built on what they call a slab. I wasn't familiar with a slab. Up north where I grew up, all the houses had basements, or what we would call cellars. And a lot of us, we want a quick slab house. God, just give me a slab life. Just do this quick. Let's lay this down and get this moving. And God said, no. I want you to have a house with some foundations. Boy, this is some good preaching. I don't care what y'all say. I want your life to have sound foundation. And the reason why your life needs to have foundations is because there's some storms that I know is coming your way that you're going to need to be able to handle. That storm might be a miscarriage. That storm could be the loss of a child. That storm could be you losing your job that you had worked so hard and you were so proud of, that now you finally got this position, you finally got this title. And the corner office, when I've been thinking about everybody who wanted the corner offices, are they still going to want the corner offices with everybody working at home? It don't matter no more. And you had all this, but you had no foundation. And God said, I know some stuff you're going to go through as a result of a divorce. You don't need to have foundation. And the Bible tells us what happens when people don't have foundations. The Bible says, and the storms come and the wind come, and great is the fall of that house because they have no foundation. But who he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house on a rock, not on the sand without foundation. Man who built his house on a rock. In other words, because when you build a foundation, especially the highest skyscraper, they go down and find bedrock. He said, and the winds come, storms come, miscarriage comes, financial issues come, foreclosure comes, divorce comes, cancer comes, death of a family member, spouse, child, parent comes. But I'm still able to go on with God. I hurt, but I don't go under. I got questions, but I'm still here. Are y'all listening to me here? I am perplexed, as Paul said, but I'm not in despair. And people who run and fail and backslide and leave is because they don't have foundation. You got to let God take you through enough to give you some foundations in your life that you get to the place that I shall not be moved. Paul said this. I've been through all kinds of stuff, and I've illuminated them in a recent Bible study that he said, but none of these things move me because I have a foundation. He went looking for a city with that foundation, and it's going to have foundation. God's got to build that. God, that's not an instant. That's not a tent. It's not an instant slab house. Okay? We're getting ready to build our permanent sanctuary, but this one here was built real fast. We broke ground in January. We moved in July 4th. 6 months. This was done and as planned, because I needed something quick. But because it's quick, these walls are not the regular kind of walls. Some people thought you could just cut a door in it and walk on in. So they, when we first got here, the people who were rolling on the river, you got to live here, know what I'm talking about. They tried to do that. But have they found out that inside of these, even though it don't look like this, there's still structure inside of it. God says to Abraham, Genesis 12 and 1. He says, get out of your country. Can I tell you? If you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to have to get out of your country. What am I talking about? Your country is your place of comfort. Your place of familiarity. Get out of your country. And from your kindred. I got to leave my kindred. Now, I know, I've lived down here in down south now, y'all, for about 26 years. Folks down south love their family. I done made some mistakes, y'all. I done talked about people's family members and didn't know it. I found that out the hard way as an early days of pastor. My first 5 years as a pastor, I had a brother who was in our church, and he was the head of one of our ministries. And had some people in the church who was doing stuff they shouldn't do. And they were, well, I was having Bible study. They was having their own Bible study at the house, inviting people and all. And I said, listen, I said, those people, I said, they got the wrong spirit. I said, they ain't God. I said, those people got a demonic agenda. He said, you think so, Pastor? I said, yeah. I said, I don't expect you to be over there. He said, really, Pastor? I said, yeah. I said, don't, those people are off. Something wrong with those people. I said, I didn't even talk to him. He said, you think so, Pastor? I said, yeah. He left. He said, okay, I'm going to go home and talk to my wife about it. Within an hour, I had an email. I can't believe you talk about my cousins like that. And we will not be back. I tried to get them to leave their demonic kindred. They say, I ain't leaving my demonic kindred. I don't care if they demonic. That's my kindred. These demons been in my family for a long time. And so I found out. So now when I go to correct people, I think about, okay, now Joyce, that's Laura right there. And Joyce is her sister. So when she get mad, we need to find a new intercessory prayer leader now, because I'm going to correct her. But since that's her sister, she's going to leave too, even though she's wrong. That's what I discovered. And God tells Abraham, leave your kindred. Leave your family church. And Jesus later on says, he said, if you follow me, you got to count up the cost. He said, don't think I came to bring peace in families. He said, because to really follow me, sometimes it's going to divide mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. Because sometimes you're going to have to make a choice between what's right and what's tradition. You can sometimes going to make a choice between what God says and what the family says. Oh, I lived that very early as a young boy. When I decided I decided I want to go, but I knew I had to listen to my family, and I left the good old family church. We heard a song at the conference this week. They had a choir sing with the orchestra, and I probably was the only one in here who knew the words to that song. We grew up singing that in my church. My grandmother sang it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Hosanna in the highest. That's how I grew up. And the kids, we sit in church. And I want to go over there to the sanctified church. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hey! Woo! My family said, you crazy. You're going to go over there. And then, as a year, when the pastor died, I was a young minister, and I'm the only one young minister who came out of that church, and I had left my family church, and I sent a condolence letter, and they started calling me. My Aunt Dottie called me. She was on the board. Who would put Aunt Dottie on church board? She said, the board wants you to send in a resume. You're the only preacher that came out of this church. They want to make you the pastor. I was all that. Boy, I said, wow. Wow. I was impressed. I was flattered. But I knew. And I started considering, Lord, I said, don't you send no resume. You know that ain't what I called you to do. I called you years ago to lead that to a land that I'm going to show you. The land that God was going to show me was going to end up being 15 years later in a place called Columbia, South Carolina, pastoring something called Right Direction Christian Center, now Right Direction Church International, that I didn't see back then. That is what I saw, but that wasn't the city that had foundations. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I'm talking about learning to walk by faith and walk in the dark. God told Abraham, leave your country and your kindred, your familiar surroundings, even close family ties from your father's house. That means your relatives. He says, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. Go where I'm going to show you. When are you going to show me? I don't need to show you anything because you haven't left. Go to a land that I will show you. Well, show me and I'll go. No, you go and I'll show you as you go. Yes, God was the original inventor of the GPS that tells you as you go. Turn right here. Turn left here. Go here. And years ago, we used to drive. One time, I don't know why in the world I did this. All young children. We drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Pastor Marshall Family Reunion in Raleigh, North Carolina. Drove on up to New Jersey. Left New Jersey, went to Maine. Came back, stopped again in New Jersey, and then drove straight to Oklahoma. Why the heaven, did I ever decide to do that with four young kids? It was awful. That was a long ride. But it sounded good. It seemed like it would be exciting. go to land out. And so during that time, I remember we would go from city to city, we had state to state, and we had an atlas. And I would outline in the atlas and highlight what interstates and what roads we're going to take. God does not give you a roadmap. God gives you a Holy Ghost GPS system that says, as you go, I'll lead you. When you read Genesis 12 and 13, I read it again last night. I understand why it says sojourn in the land. Because the Bible says he went south. Then he went south again. Then he went south again. Comes to Pharaoh. And he goes back. Then he goes to Bethel. And he goes back to the place where he set off. He was roaming around. Have y'all ever felt like you're roaming around? Has anybody ever felt like you've been roaming around? Come on, somebody put it in the chat. I've been roaming around. I feel like I've been roaming around. And you know, when the children of Israel, before they've gotten to the promised land, the Bible says that they were roaming around a mountain for 40 years. 40 years. And finally God speaks and says, you've been in this mountain, compassing this mountain long enough. Now go forward. Sometimes you don't know the place. Secondly, I said Abraham had to get familiar with, God's pace. Everybody say God's pace. Now, us faith people, we like to say stuff to encourage you, and doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's not always probable. We talk stuff like sudden blessings. We talk like instant breakthrough. We tell you stuff like sweatless victories. And I have experienced those. But can I be honest? The majority of my breakthroughs were not sudden. Y'all don't like me now. The majority of my blessings and things that came about were not sweatless victory. When I say sweatless, I mean it didn't require effort on my part. The work of faith. And sometimes the work of faith is to keep saying the same thing even when it looks different. The work of faith is to be at peace even when your head is in trauma. Walking by faith and walking in the dark means I got to get familiar and comfortable with God's pace. Everybody say God's pace. God's pace, we always want to ask, how long will it take? How long will it take? Genesis 12, 14. It says, I want you to see, when God told him to leave his family. Now, when the Lord told me to leave my family and go to my uncle's church, the little, small, sanctified church, that would be the impetus to launch me one day into mega ministry. Y'all can catch that. I was 15. Let's see how old Abraham was when God told him to leave. Genesis 12, 14. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him. He told him to leave the family. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75. Now, my second grade edition tells me that's 75. He was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. How old was he, honey? He was 75. There's some things that you know, I'm still believing God for, and I even wasn't sure if I believe in God for, because I really wasn't sure if I want it as I'm getting older, you know. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, let me just tell you something. Here's the real deal regarding us believing for this thing. I said, the truth is, I said, you know, I'd always said as we get older and get into retirement, I don't want to have such and such and such and such, and I want things to look like such and such and such and such. And I realized I was limiting God. Because based upon my time clock, God calls Abraham and gives him a vision at 75. 75. He said, listen, Abraham, I know your plan was moving that retirement community and settle down there. Okay. And move to Florida where they don't have any income tax. So you can get all your retirement money. But that's not my plan for you. I want you to get up and go somewhere that you don't know where you're going. At 75. Come on. Y'all know how it is. Even though you want a bigger house, you dread moving. Yeah, I know this ain't my purpose, but man, I got to pack all this stuff up and move. And surely those you don't feel like moving at 75. He was 75. He's 10 years older than his wife when he departed out of Haran. Then they go on, watch this, and on one of his sojourning journeys, he goes down to Egypt, and Pharaoh, and God speaks to Pharaoh and let the man go and leave his wife alone, and he sends him back up, and he sends him with resources and goods and handmaidens, including this girl named Hagar, who, when God says later you're going to have a child, he figured, well, maybe he means through her, because surely I'm too old for this. And watch this. They have Ishmael. Ishmael is born when Abraham is 86. And God says, this still ain't the plan. What? This ain't the plan. I still got work for you. I know you're thinking it's too late. I know you're thinking it's too far gone. I know you're thinking, okay, by now, if this hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. God said, you need to go at my pace. Pick up here Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9. Again, that second grade math tells me that's 99. When he's 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, be you perfect. God, I've been walking with you now for about 24 years. Can I stop walking now? And somebody said, no, because I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I'm not tired yet. And 99 years old, and the Lord said, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me, be perfect, be mature, come on, get yourself together, keep on following my path for your life, stop thinking your own way, stop thinking your own pace, I still got a plan for you, you still got to keep your ear to my mouth, I still want to lead you, I still want to guide you, I still want to give you vision, I still want to fulfill dreams, I still want you not to bury your hopes, walk before me and be perfect. He said in verse 2, and I'm going to make my covenant between me and thee. And now God's talking, but first he's talking about addition. Then God said, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. I'm getting ready to do some God math in your life. At 99 years old, I'm getting ready to blow your mind. It is not too late for God to fulfill his word in your life. Now, I said this to my team who's here this week. I really do not believe that the story of Abraham and Sarah, and then I ain't got to their Isaac being born yet, but them being old and moving and having children, all that, I don't believe that the main message and lesson we're supposed to get from the story of Abraham and Sarah is that even though you're 100, you can still have a child. I don't believe that's the message. Now, you can receive that. Use them as your example. But I don't believe that's the main message. I believe the main message for that is particularly in this contemporary society today where we consider anybody who's over 60 to be old. Where they say everything now needs to be catered to the younger people. Millennials and Z's, etc. And where they say they are the primary demographic and the buying audience and the ones who are going to be hired and all that. I think God is trying to tell somebody, I can still fulfill my word in your life. Don't count me out because I haven't counted you out. I still got plans for you, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. I know. I know you don't see it, but I know the plans that I have for you. There's still some things that I have decided and placed on the agenda before you were ever born that I want to still fulfill in your life. And the reason why you're still here in the earth and the reason why you're still here in the land of the living is because I'm not finished with you yet. Somebody put in the chat, God's not finished with me. Glory to God. He says, I'm going to make my covenant with you. And verse 6, I'm going to bless, make you exceedingly fruitful. I'm going to make nations come out of you. And kings are going to come. He said, get a vision beyond yourself. Get a vision for your children's children. Get a vision for coming generations. Verse 8, I'm going to give unto you and to the seed after you the land that you were a stranger in. He said, I know, oh, this is so good. I know that you've been thinking that where you've been walking around just these last 25 years is just, I just got you living in tents for the purpose of just inconveniencing your life and just taking you through things that you don't understand. He said, but what I really want you to see, every place that the sole of your feet has tread upon, that's what I'm getting ready to give you. You know how vast this land is. Come on. Now you can get a vision of exactly when I say I'm going to give you this land. Now you know what this land is. Oh, my God. Is it possible that the only reason why God promoted you in that company, gave you that position, is not so you can be settled in that company, it's so I can show you what I can do through you? Is it possible that the only reason why God brought you into that room is not so you can just be happy about that room, but to show you the room that I can make you create? Is it possible that the reason why the Lord let you sit at this table is to show you the table that he wants to make through you? Somebody say, it has not been in vain.
For believers, walking by faith is not an option. Walking through the dark means not knowing the place or the pace. In this message, Bishop Herbert Bailey teaches us how to walk through the dark, knowing that God is in control and he has a plan for our lives. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.